They told me what you doing. I said, what I'm about to do is turn the fuck up.
Hi, this is Cindy Kim, and you're listening to Dark Match Hot Dive.
Hey guys, this is Selena de la Renta, Film Promociones Dorado and MLW. You're listening to Dark Match Podcast.
You are currently listening to the Dark Match Podcast, but more importantly, you're listening to the voice of the first and only ever two-time Rookie of the Year, Jackson Argos.
What the fuck? Like, what is wrong with you?
So are you still upset that as of yesterday we should have been standing in an arena full of fans and singing Foo Fighters at the top of our lungs?
Oh, dude, Amy didn't want to remind me.
She thought I'd
be sad, but I'm like, you know what? It worked out because it was her daughter's birthday.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked out because then I could at least be there for that.
Now it's rescheduled for a Saturday in like October.
Yeah, right? It is. October 3rd.
That's what upsets me, though. Like, any other day except for Saturday. Like,
well,
that's
you
like,
know what? You should just take that Saturday off.
I would love to, except for the current climate. We pretty much have to leave, like, every single weekend moving forward after this pandemic's over. And we have to leave, like, every single weekend open for reschedules. And
You're sick that day.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm sick that day, but I'm all over social media, Snapchat, everything. It's very similar to that story that came out with the kid that called off sick from work, and his boss replies back with a screenshot of his like his Snapchat story. Like, yeah, you look real sick. Enjoy your day drinking. Like, no, I'm not going to call in sick. Like, if anything, I'll wait to see what happens right now. I think I'm already booked. If memory serves me correctly, October 3rd. If I'm not, then I'm almost positive that I would be thrown on something or I would be offered an immense amount of money to work that day. So,
well, then I guess I got to find two people to go.
Well, I want to go to the concert more, though, but either way.
Yeah, but if you can make four figures at a wedding, you're going to effing do it.
Well, obviously, yeah. Of course. Well, at this point, geez, with how some of them are rescheduling and stuff like that, geez, who knows what they're going to pay at this point. But now everyone's going to like this virtual idea where they're doing it over like Zoom. So that's like the big thing now. If I could go back 6 months ago and invest in Zoom stock, I would be a millionaire right now. I could retire tomorrow.
I know. I wish I would have invested more money, but I may have put some money into DraftKings.
Oh, jeez. Which is currently...
Dude, since I bought it, like, it's gone up like 10 bucks a stock, man.
That's not bad at all. Well, everyone wants to bet. What are they betting on now? The weather? It's like that scene in like Rat Race where they're just betting on everything and anything. So, who knows? But we got a very exciting guest today. We don't want to take too much more time, and what we do want to get into that. He has been requested back on numerous occasions. We finally made it happen, and, well, I don't want to give anything away. We'll just get into it right now. First and foremost, how are you doing through this entire quarantine, pandemic, whatever you want to call it, whole dilemma that's going on, first and foremost?
Well, first off, I just wanted to say thanks, and the fact that I'm top three is pretty cool, but I obviously got to crack one out of the park this time and try to get number one overall. It was downloaded, so let's try to make it juicy. But as for the coronavirus and quarantine, I think I'm doing all right. I really do miss wrestling a lot. Anyone who's wrestling and doesn't miss it should get out of the business immediately. You know, I've been wanting to do this since I was 6 years old. And the fact that I'm having time stolen from my career right now because of these circumstances, it's criminal to me. And if I get fired up talking about it, that's why. I just want to preface anything by saying that. But besides the wrestling, I'm doing all right. I got cash flow coming in. I got a garage gym, and I'm still able to put all content with show some of my creative juices. So it's not the most ideal thing, and I desperately need a haircut. I look like an unmade bed. But other than that, you know, it could be way worse.
Well, I'm loving the content, the books that you have. I pretty much just sit my kids down in front of it and like, here, he'll read you a story. Like, it's Bulk's time to shine. Like, he's going to read you a story. Everybody Poops, personal favorite of my kids, not going to lie. So they love that video. And every single time my son has my phone, he's like, play Everybody Poops. It's like, Everybody Poops. It's garbage. Like, it's a terrible book. Everybody does.
It's a terrible book.
Except for women. Like, they don't
poop. Except for women, exactly.
They don't poop. So, but loving the content that you guys have coming out, and especially through the whole pandemic, everything that they're doing with IWC, whether it be I can't even watch any more wrestling with Jack Pollock. I'm going to pass out, or I'm going to get alcohol poisoning. So, but
right.
Everything else that they got going on, the Xander Zone, which we're going to touch on as well, but kind of picking it up, you said that you got to have a garage gym. What do you got going on in there? Did you just kind of inherit some weights, or has that been a project that the pandemic's just pretty much put you in a position where it's like, you know what, it's time to make this a reality?
No, I think every meathead always has some kind of weights floating around, odds and ends, dumbbells and a weight bar. One of my good friends is a big time fitness guy and has a pretty nice setup in his garage that I use. And the roof's a little low. He's 5'5", I'm 6'3", so his basement's a lot shorter than what I'm used to, so I gotta watch my head, but it's got weights, it's got squat rack, it's got everything I need to at least maintain some physical prowess.
Yeah. So, and that's one thing that I'm trying to do myself is continuously just obtain and get things going. So, and especially with this whole pandemic that went on, unfortunately I was out of work, so my diet kind of went out the window a little bit, but
I'm understandable.
But, and that's the hardest thing. Like, you're just sitting at home. Like, when you're at work, it's easier to be motivated because you don't have much of anything while you're at work. The staff fridge, everyone's got their name on it. Well, if you want to be that dick that eats someone else's lunch, then far be it from me to stop you. But like, I was on this egg diet. Like, Dave, have you gone back to this at all? Have you?
I should because I'm working from home and I'm packing on the weight. It's not good.
Yeah, like the temptations are there. Like, my son is in this phase right now, and it's unfortunate where we're transitioning, taking away naps, which with a 22-month-old, eliminating that nap is like it's a death wish pretty much. And the one way that we've been able to encourage him not to is with Doritos, which are like my like kryptonite. And he's big on the Cool Ranch now. So he's ventured off into other realms other than the nacho cheese. Now he's big on the Cool Ranch. And you open those up, it's dunzo. I'm gone. Like, I'm chowing down with him. So, yeah. Like, but, like, to get back on the egg diet, like, it's just eggs for every single meal. I don't think I need to tell any meathead what eggs do to you. So it's a give and take. So, but when I was on it previously, I dropped 18 pounds in 1 week. It's a fan. Wow. Oh, it's a huge, it's a great diet. If you're looking to drop pounds and you're looking to drop it and you don't really have anyone in your general downwind vicinity, like I highly encourage it because it helps you lose weight. And I mean, it clears the system, that's for sure. And it clears the room absolutely too. But kudos to you staying motivated. So you have no wrestling right now. Have there been talks in the back rooms of when the next IWC show is going to be? Because a lot of things have been pushed so far. Have you gotten a little insight for us when we should be expecting IWC back on our, not only our TV screens, but back hopefully in court time soon?
To be honest, I haven't heard too much. The only thing I know is, and I commend Plumber for it a lot, is every month, you know, like right now, Super Indy is supposed to be in June. And previous shows, like in May and April, I know he really tried to hammer home that we're going to have them if legal. And I really commend him for that, because to me, that was like giving me hope. That was giving, in my opinion, people hope, like, hey, things are shutting down, but, you know, they may run next month. And then, like, we get pushed another month. It's like, okay, we're going to run next month, though. And it's like he's not making empty promises. He's just trying to be hopeful. He's trying to keep it business as usual, try to be that distraction from reality that we all love wrestling to be. Yeah. And I know he got some flack for advertising shows. It's like he's not stealing money. He's not running shows. He's not promising to run a show, taking your pre-sale, and then not doing it. You know, he's doing everything by the book. He's, you know, listening to the stay-at-home order. He's just trying to be hopeful and try to, you know, if you believe it, you can achieve it mentality, you know, like, hey, we're going to run next month. Hey, we're going to run next month. And to me, that's like, that's giving me discipline with my diet and exercise. It's like, you know, say we don't run till August, and I know that I might get fat for a month. But if I know that the next show might be 3 weeks away, that's going to keep me motivated, keep me chomping at the bit.
At this point, we're opening back up soon. But everyone thinks that immediately, like, hey, these are opening back up. No, it's not going to be the same as it was previously. It's not life as we previously knew it. Like, it's going to be very restricted. And
I don't think people understand the gravity of this still.
No,
the fact that even with everything opening up, it's going to be a year, because even they're slightly hopeful by January that maybe they could have a few vaccines. Then you got to mass produce and vaccinate everyone.
Yeah. And then next, like, thing you know,
we're not going to have any normalcy till next summer.
Yeah.
And then even then we're lucky.
And then there's going to be a new virus probably going around. I mean, we've had swine flu, yeah. We've had mad cow. We've had bird flu. We've had, at this point, we've had coronavirus. Who knows what it's going to be next year? And then we need a new vaccine, and then we're in quarantine again, and then everything's just broadcasted, like, with no crowds forever. I don't know. But
it's kind of one of those that just hopefully that, yes, we can start getting back where we can start getting a little bit bigger gatherings where, you know, Bulk and all, you know, other performers can get back in the ring and give us some, you know, a little bit more normalcy, where even if they're running shows with no fans like bigger companies are currently doing, that's at least then more product for us to watch and start seeing some more of our favorite talent get back to doing what they love.
What I would love to see is a segment called Bulk Nasty Visits a Rage Room, and you just put a web camera in there and you just, like, destroy a rage room. I don't know if you've seen those or not, but I think that'd be like the most entertaining thing. Like, and I've always wanted to do it. Like, there's some where it's like you walk in there and you could tell, like, it was previously destroyed. But I don't know if you watched the show Billions on Showtime or not. Have you?
I do not.
There's this one scene in a previous episode where she goes to a rage room, but the room is like a high end, like a hotel or something like that, and you can just destroy it, and it looks expensive. There's like flat screens on the wall. The couches are like nice leather, and you could just have like spray paint and then like sledgehammers, nail guns. You could just destroy them. I would love to do that. But at the same point, I think it would be great content. Like, hey, just let a wrestler loose in a rage room and see what they can do in here and what they can flip and what they can destroy. Who knows? Maybe that's something for us, Dave, that we can do. We'll just we'll pay for a rage room, and then we'll broadcast it on Twitch, and that will be what we do with our guests. It'd be very expensive, though. Maybe not. I don't know. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I'm with you and wanting to see Bulk do that, but team building with Xander.
Team building with Xander. Wow. Well, that's someone else we need to have on the show as well. But obviously, since this quarantine has started, we have been in talks, obviously, with your posts that you put on Instagram, it has me laughing daily. And after I comment, you always kind of get on these little stories of what has happened. So we're going to call this next segment, What Has Bulk Done in His Personal Life That We Cannot Judge Him For? So you kind of gave me a little insight of some of these stories. So I'm going to give you the floor because I said I have some stories for you, but I want to hear your stories. So
one that pops up is talking about my neighbor and his white SUV.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. Okay, yes, I remember this.
So just some background information for listeners. I hate people. I don't like anybody. Very miserable. I'm a grumpy person. That being said, I sometimes like to think of myself as an agent of karma for people who do wrong. And usually it's just people who upset me, and then I try to justify it with karmic justice. But I digress. I have a neighbor who, when he moved in, I'd wave to him. He would never wave back. His girlfriend would never wave back. So I'm like, all right, I'm not going to wave to you guys anymore. No big deal. Well, small world, I find out his girlfriend works with my mom. They talk. His girlfriend finds out I'm a pro wrestler. And at the time this started, it was the Meadville show IWC put on, where Booker T was one of the talents on the show. And she told my mom that she loves Booker T and asked my mom to ask me to get her a Booker T autograph. Now, it's one thing if it's like a best friend's kid wants an autograph, or maybe my brother has a favorite wrestler from childhood and I get to work with him and he wants me to get a picture with him or something. That I understand. But if you're a stranger that I barely know and who I try to wave to and you won't wave back to me, and then you try to ask me for a favor, that's going to ruffle my feathers. So the boyfriend drives his white SUV, and I got the idea one night. I was drinking a chocolate milkshake. I was like, I should pour this on the car. So once a week now, for the last 3 years, I've been getting chocolate milkshakes, drinking half of them, and then this football spike him off this guy's car. And I... At this point, he should invest in like a doorbell camera to see who it is, but nothing has come from it. And it's just my karmic justice of getting, you know, hey, man, you want to not wave to me and then ask for favors? Like, have a milkshake.
Well, in probably his defense, he probably knows it's you, but one look at you, it's like, you know what? A car wash a week isn't bad. That's probably his thought process. I could approach you on this, but I would probably die, and my girlfriend would probably leave me post-fight, so it's best if you just... I can afford a $5 car wash afterwards. Who knows? Maybe he has, like, fuel perks or something, and he uses it towards a car wash or something. I don't know. So, I told you I had a similar story. So, my neighbors, just recently, when we first moved in, my neighbors and I did not get along. The day after we moved in, we were having appliances delivered. And it was like 6:15, 6:20 in the morning. And we're carrying in a dryer. I'm assisting the people from Home Depot. And we're carrying in this dryer. And as we're carrying it in our back door, the neighbor walks out who hasn't exchanged any type of pleasantries. We were moving in the full day the day before, and she comes out and she starts screaming at us that we need to move the truck because some of us have to work for a living and we can't live off of the government's handouts. And yeah, as I'm holding like a dryer, I'm like, hi, nice to meet you too. Like, thank you for the neighborhood welcome. Ever since that point, whenever we're outside, whatever it may be, anything that we're doing, she would always yell about. She would always complain about it. Our music was too loud. We were talking too loud. Our kids were playing too loud. And there was one point where said girlfriend made a comment to our dog at the time that if she didn't stop barking, she was going to pour like boiling water over my dog's head, not knowing that I was outside. And I like stood up and I was like, yeah, I'd really love to see you do that. And she got like this terrifying look on her face. She went inside, and next thing you know, she's telling her kids that they're not allowed to talk to my kids. Her boyfriend, who I've golfed with, it wasn't allowed to talk to me anymore. And it just like created this huge issue. So now, because of this, she has put up like privacy blinds in the house and everything. So now whenever the windows are open, I open my windows and I walk around naked in my own house. And I walk back and forth from the bathroom, just showing everything off. Dave, enjoy that visual while you're trying to sleep tonight. And yeah, so now she doesn't talk at all. She is actually, believe it or not, she has moved out. So I feel like I was the reason that their relationship ended. So it's much more peaceful now, but that was a fun way to give her her send off. And now, even when she comes over to like pick up her kids, like no matter what time it is, it could be like the middle of the night, she lays on her horn. So at this point, I'm looking to institute the spike method with a chocolate milk. So I might steal that idea from you. But so the last time you were on, you had a date, and we never got an update of how said events went. So give us a little bit of insight here, because you abruptly ended the interview, and you had, I believe it was like you had a date with a married woman or something.
I was going to say, if I recall, he said he had to go ruin a marriage.
So did you go out on a date with my neighbor? That's what you did. You sly dog. You got my neighbor gone.
Yeah, he caught me. I swoop right in there.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to. No. Just saying. No. Yeah. I don't know your type, but I can guarantee you she was not your type.
As long as she's my type. Ruined. And, long live the king.
All right. The point. Marriage ruined. And long live the king. There we go. Bulk nasty. So. Other than that, there's a lot of things that have happened since our last time, even seeing you. The last time, unfortunately, that we saw you, I had, thankfully, I'm knocking on wood, but I know that, Dave, I do have to ask, though, before I bring this up, have we called a truce on this? Have we eliminated said slap? Has that
come? I think so.
Yes, I think there was. So the last time we were at Pittsburgh Pro Wrestling Classic, we were set to have you chest chop me. Unfortunately, a incident within your match resulted in a pretty nasty cut. And you're like me, so you pick at cuts and you reopened it again. And you unfortunately had to leave the after party, so the chest chop never happened. Now, since that time, obviously, you've been working out. You've been keeping up with your physique for whenever your return is going to be. But what else, other than working out in your gym, what has kind of occupied your time during quarantine? Whether it be other than putting out content and working out and ending marriages, what else have you found yourself doing to occupy your time?
Well, first off, yeah, that was a very nasty cut I had back in the Pittsburgh Pro Wrestling Classic. It really left me lightheaded for this lack of blood, like blood loss, which, ironically, I've been dealing with some medical issues involving thick blood, and it was right after that show I found out I had it. I told the doctor, I'm like, Doc, there's no way that I have thick blood because I bled for like 45 minutes the other day. I should be okay. And lo and behold, that's not how medicine works. But I digress. Filling my time during quarantine, I mean, there's Netflix. I try to watch. I'm a big movie guy. I like to, like a connoisseur of movies, if you will. So I try to watch a movie a night or some Netflix series, whatever. Believe it or not, I do read. So I'll read either a nonfiction or fiction book, depending on what my mood is. I hang out with said ruined marriage, former wife, whatever you want to call it. That takes up, you know, a good part of my day and night. I'm keeping it kind of basic. Go to work, come home, go to the gym, come home from that, watch some TV, read a book, go to bed, eat, sleep, repeat. For my day job, I'm deemed an essential employee, so I've been working this entire time. So
same.
I've missed out on a lot of the quarantine boredom. You know, I'm still leaving my house every morning, so I'm lucky in that sense, not only for having a paycheck, but not going stir crazy. To give you a boring answer, I'm pretty simple and, you know, don't need much to entertain me. So by the time the gym's done, watch two episodes of Shameless or watch a movie and then pass out.
You're talking my language right now. So I love Shameless. Dave, have you dived down that rabbit hole yet? I know.
Absolutely not.
Why the fuck not? Yes, I just dropped my first
episode. Because I sit here, because we go over this almost every week. I cannot watch anything that I quote unquote want to watch, or I'm not going to get any work done.
Okay. I'll give you that. So I'm not going to bring up the other series that I'm sure you still have not watched either.
No, fuck Tiger King.
Okay. I've moved Tiger King.
I've
moved past Tiger King as well. Okay. We're not going to bring that up, but Shameless.
Then what's your other one?
No, Shameless. Oh no. I've fallen down the rabbit hole of a couple other ones, which we'll discuss here in a second, but Shameless. If there's a show that you want to dive in, oh my gosh, I will recommend that until I'm blue in the face. Just don't be like my wife and I and have it on the TV as children are walking by. Not the greatest of ideas. But it has instituted a fun game of who can find the remote the quickest, because holy shit, they always walk in when there's a sex scene going on. So yeah, so we had to find a new show that has occupied our TV at all times. So we've switched over to Schitt's Creek, which is another good show, Dave, that you should definitely watch as well if you haven't yet.
No, I've tried watching Schitt's Creek. It's boring as fuck.
How can you say that it's boring as fuck being someone that likes The Office and dry humor?
Because The Office is funny. Schitt's Creek is boring.
Not funny. Not true.
It's not funny.
Yes, it is. It's very funny. So is The Office, too. But so is Parks and Rec. And
I can't get into Parks and Rec either.
How could... I'm not going to dive down this. No. Like, this is bulk nasty we have on right now. But we're going to deal with you at a different time. Jesus. How can you say... How can you like The Office and not like Parks and Rec?
Because it's dumb.
Okay. Why have we been friends for 30 plus years?
Because as we've all said, we're getting too old to make new friends.
Very true. Very true. It's very hard to make new friends in your 30s. So that's why. But yeah, I'm also deemed an essential employee, but I've been kept away from like the general public. So I'm inside of like a closed location with like other employees, and we're literally just calling people all day. Well, they say like I have to make X amount of calls per day. Well, I can make that amount of calls within a half an hour, but I still have to be at work for 8 hours. So what am I going to do to fill the rest of the 7 hours? I'm literally just watching everything I possibly can find on Netflix. That's what I'm doing. Like, heaven forbid an employee listens to this, because they would see that I'm currently being paid to watch Netflix. So, like, I've watched... I just started last night Dead to Me. I don't know if you've heard of that show or not. It's got like Christina Applegate, and I'm blanking on her name, but she's been in a bunch of things. I can't believe I'm blanking on her name right now, but a very interesting show, and I'm only like two episodes in, so if you've watched it, don't spoil it for me. Shameless is always the go-to back. Schitt's Creek, once again. I'm really big into documentaries. So if you could recommend like a good documentary, you got me all day.
Oof.
Other than Tiger King
documentaries. Yeah. Well, a couple things. To mitigate or mediate, whatever the word is, Parks and Rec, you should try watching, start on the third season. Whenever Adam Scott comes in, for me, I couldn't get into it at first, but once he kind of came in, I started to like it, and I went back and watched earlier episodes, so maybe try that. Tiger King's pretty wild. You need to have Jimmy Vegas on the podcast and ask him about his experiences with Tiger King situations. I don't want to tell his stories, but he's dealt with like mountain lions and cougars and bears and lions and tigers and shit. So, you know, like I said, that's his story to tell, but if you like Tiger King, ask Jimmy Vegas about his time with his wildlife and, your brain will melt. Shameless is great because it reminds me of my childhood. Like, Shameless is watching old home movies to me, basically, because I'm white trash, and it relates so much to that show. Like, you know, my neighbor is the female version of Frank Gallagher.
Oh, Jesus.
It's insane. Like, I was just telling Mama Bulk on Mother's Day, I was like, you know, our neighbor's been dying for the last 20 years. New liver, new kidney failure, liver failure, drugs and everything, and yet she's got out of all of us. And it's kind of like how Frank, you know, just keeps, he's a cockroach. And then, you know, just all the random vandalizations and violence and like Mickey robbing convenience stores and everything. Like, it's like, oh, that's my childhood. Like, yeah, I remember that, or I remember doing that, or, oh, that's so-and-so reminds me of. So Shameless is very near and dear to my heart.
It's like that one part where, not to give anything away, but where the person from Child Protective Services comes over, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, there's a drunk man on your front porch," and they're just like, "Yeah," like,
"Yeah,"
like, whereas to like you and I, like myself, like that'd be like, "Oh my God, there's some random guy on my front porch," and to them, they're just like, "Yeah, that's Tuesday," okay,
yeah. I had a neighbor growing up who, when he was in high school, the police came in to do a drug raid, so he swallowed all of his acid instead of getting busted.
Oh, Jesus so, Christ.
This man was like my dad's age. So I'm 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and he would just walk around talking to people, but no one would ever talk back. And I was like, why isn't everyone like answering this poor man? And I found out later he was just so strung out from that time he ate all the acid. He was talking to aliens. You know, you would throw stuff at him, like a ball, whatever. He wouldn't catch it. Someone bought a new car. He walked over, touched the car, and he's like, oh, my hands are healing. And then he started using his hands again. For like 5 years, wouldn't use his hands. And it's just like, that's just Rick. He's walking up down the street. Don't mind him.
Jesus.
You know, what? I had a neighbor. Go ahead.
What? This is insane. Where did you grow up?
Right outside McKees Rocks.
Oh, okay.
So, like, it's considered, it's a little town called Kennedy, but it's, like, pretty ghetto adjacent. You know, you make one road to the left, and you're in Stowe Rocks. One road to the right, you're in McKees Rocks from my house, and both Rockses are not good places to be. There's been shootings a street over, two streets over. We've had drug dens on the street, all kinds of. He had neighbors who cops were there every other night. So, like, I kind of got the whole ghetto experience while still going to a shitty, like, average high school for, like, middle-class people.
So, is it very similar to, like, that part in, like, My Cousin Vinny, like, where, like, the only time that he could ever sleep was when he was in jail because it was noise that was, like, familiar to him? Like, if you don't hear, like, riots and, like, sirens, you can't sleep. Like, otherwise, it's too quiet.
Yeah, kind of. I know I have seven neighbors that always have the domestic disputes at, like, 2 in the morning. And it's like that scene in Coming to America when Eddie Murphy's yelling. And the guy's like, fuck you. He's like, yes, fuck you, too. Like, I'll be trying to sleep, hear this domestic going on out in the front yard. And now I'm screaming out my window, telling them to shut the hell up. And they're screaming back at me and then screaming at each other. And it's 2:30 in the morning. I'm like, what is, like, how are we living this way? It's 2020.
Yeah. I feel that way with a large majority that's going on in my neighborhood too. Like, I can't wait. I can't wait to move. Like, there was just recently, like, the big scandal on my street right now is there's a new couple that moved in like 4 or 5 houses down. And they're a married gay couple, and the neighbors that they have are very, and not to offend anybody, but they're very Christian. They do not believe in that. So they decided that they were going to put up a huge privacy fence. Well, they're putting up the privacy fence in their backyard. So the day that they were having the fence installed, they decided that they were going to have a pride social distancing party in their front yard. Well, what do my neighbors do in response? Well, not my neighbors, their neighbors.
They called the police, didn't they?
Oh, like 4 times. And then when the cops were like, they're not bothering anyone, they're in their yard, they're not destroying anything, just because you don't believe in them, that's on you. Well, what did they do? They put a cross in the front yard facing their party. And I'm watching this train wreck happen. Like, this is freaking great. Like, it's their house.
You're just, at that point, you're just waiting for them to throw on the hoods.
Oh, yeah. I really was. Like, what are you going to do now? Like, just, like, send Jehovah Witnesses over to their house, like, to their party? Like, it's just absolutely nuts. Like, just live your life.
I have 2 problems with that. One is, why are you calling the cops? Handle the business on your own, like adults. Like, all this snitching and cop calling, just like, be a human. Go deal with it. Or, like, ignore it. Like, quit getting third parties involved. Second thing is, that party was probably fabulous, and they should encourage it. It's probably a great time.
Oh, the food smelled amazing. I wanted to go party.
Like, you know, like, hey, just because, as long as it's not at 2 in the morning or, you know, 5 in the morning or whatever, like, when you're trying to sleep, like, let people have their social life. Let people have some normalcy, especially in a time, not just from a civil rights perspective, but, like, let people have whatever they can hold on to safely and legally to maintain sanity.
Yeah. Like, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was 80 degrees outside. It was gorgeous. Blue skies. No one was bothering anybody. The music wasn't loud. They were just hanging out in their front yard. And, like, their dogs were playing. Like, they weren't going in other yards or anything like that. Everything was absolutely civil. But, no. Like, they just couldn't let them have it. But I digress. So, one thing with shows, Dave, you can sit this one out. You also mentioned that you watch movies as well. Do you find yourself, like, diving into, like, a new movie you haven't watched, or do you kind of find yourself going back to the classics that you know and love?
I try to do a little bit of both. I have a terrible habit of, like, buying a bunch of movies and never watching them.
Same.
So I try to start at, you know, A, I work my way to Z. And now and then I'll jump around. Or if I've seen the new James Bonds from Daniel Craig 1,000 times each. Day and night, I watched all 4 of those, you know, 4 nights in a row, I should say. And then I try to watch something new and maybe go back to a classic if we're talking about it at work or with friends or something. You know, I just kind of go with how I feel. I try to avoid anything that's true life. So I don't watch a lot of documentaries, going back to what you were saying earlier. Or, like, I'm not going to watch Pandemic or Outbreak, whatever those movies were. Like, I'm not going to watch those right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I try to just, like you said, go with the classics sometimes. Other times, go with something I haven't seen yet. Try to keep a balance.
Yeah, and I'm the same way.
See, but Outbreak. See, but Outbreak was a pretty good movie.
But why watch that now? Totally short. Why watch that now?
Well, who cares at this point?
Yeah,
we're gonna be stuck. We're gonna be stuck in this shit for another year. So why not?
If you want a real realistic movie about what's going on in today's world, watch Space Jam.
Yeah, watch Zombieland.
No, because I wanted zombies and I didn't get zombies. I got a bunch of Karens that couldn't complain to managers in restaurants anymore. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That was offensive. That was mean. I apologize.
No, it wasn't.
And I'm just like you, Bull. Like, whenever we're thinking of like a movie to watch, like the first thing my wife tells me is like, go dig out. Like, we have like two big books full of like DVDs and like Blu-rays. It's like, go see if we own it first. And I can't tell you how many times like we've downloaded a movie or like rented a movie, paid for it, and then we're going through the book later, and then it's like, we owned it. Like, it's right here. Like, we did that with, I forget what movie it was. Like, it was some kid's movie. Like, and we paid like $5 to rent it. And then we're going through it like
little, was it later. Little Giants?
No, I have that on DVD. Like, that is, I knew exactly where that was. Yes, I own.
Which, by the way, please make a copy and send it over this way. Thank you.
Yeah, my wife's like over here, like chiming in. Like I mentioned, we have a microphone. If you would like to take part in interviews, you can jump on over here and you can take a part. It was Anastasia, what was the kids' movie, but I will send you a copy. I'll burn you a copy of Little Giants if you'd like.
I would greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a fantastic movie. Space Jam 2.
It's a classic.
It is.
I have Space Jam.
My kids wanted nothing to do with it. I'm like, what is wrong with you? It's a kids movie. It's about football. Like, let's watch it. Like, they want nothing to do with sports movies at all. I'm very concerned. Tried Sandlot.
It's Shannon's fault. It's not
Shannon's fault because Shannon wants to watch it too. She was more pumped for Little Giants than I was.
Fine. It's Shannon's mom's fault.
No. You can't just keep on blaming people. Like it's
yes,
it's,
I can.
No, it's my kids that they only want to watch things that are animated. And unfortunately, I got vetoed when I tried to watch Sausage Party with them. No, I'm kidding. I would never let them watch that. But I'm the same way. Like, I'll put on, like, a new movie, which is, it's terrible, because I'll put it on at, like, the worst hours of the evening. Like, I'm exhausted, but, hey, let me put on this movie at 11:15 that I know I'm going to be invested in until 1:30 in the morning when I have to be up at 6 with my kids.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to get out of bed. Like, let's face it. Like, that's a bold-faced lie. I'm not getting out of bed when my alarm goes off. I am the biggest, like, I'm the biggest fan of the snooze button. Let's just put it that way. So, but I've dived down that rabbit hole of different movies. I love documentaries. Like, I watched, there was this one, it was called The Pharmacist. I don't know if you've heard about it or not. Dave, have you seen the trailers for this one or not?
No, it doesn't sound familiar.
It's about this guy. His son gets he gets killed during a like a drug deal. Like, he was just trying to buy drugs. Drug dealer walked up to his window and just shot him. And then he realizes that there's like a bigger issue in the community because he's also a pharmacist. Go figure. It's not just a catchy name. And he realizes that like there's like this huge abundance of OxyContin prescriptions that are being filled by this one doctor, and it's people that have like no pre-existing conditions or anything like that, but like they're coming in and they have like huge like prescription fills, and they're coming in.
Does
like,
this take place in Florida?
No, it takes place in, I think, Louisiana or Mississippi.
Is this, it's starting to sound familiar. I've heard people talk about the amount of like oxy scripts that are being writ
people
who don't need anything. And I think like Florida was either took place in Florida or it was Florida had the most cases of just people writing prescriptions willy-nilly.
Oh yeah, like to get a license to like to fill prescriptions and to write prescriptions for it, it's very simple. And that's one of the things that like even the documentary like covered too, is like how easy it is. And like then they just pop up and then they just start writing them nonstop. And like, they were trying to take down this one doctor, and she was running, like, a 24-hour, like, just, like, I guess.
Quick service?
No, it wasn't even a quick service. Like, people were, like, sitting there for, like, 3 days to see the doctor. Like, there were people, like, passed out. Like, people would go get their prescriptions and then go back to the waiting room and sell the prescriptions to the people waiting because they were just there to get their fix. And it was literally just like a drug house. Like, it was a nice doctor's office that was just like a drug house. So people were coming in there like strung out, and they were just, they'd get their prescriptions filled, they'd come back and they'd sell them to the people in the waiting room, and then they would wait to see the doctor again. Like, they'd sign in, sell their pills, they'd leave momentarily, and then they'd come back, they'd get a new prescription filled at another pharmacy. So it was absolutely insane. Just, I'm not giving too much away, but those are kind of what interest me, and then like real life crime stories like that. So, I mean, the list goes
on. I'm sure
you've
been watching the Dark Side of the Ring.
Oh, yeah.
I've watched a couple of those. I'm trying to keep up on. I think tonight is Legion of Doom. Yeah, I'm definitely be watching that one.
I'm pumped for that one, yeah. I loved the Bruiser Brody one. Was fantastic. Liked the New Jack one. What other one was just came out, and I'm blanking on it right now, and I'm kicking myself because I can't remember what it was. The
Dino Bravo?
Yeah, no. The Slap Heard Round the World.
Oh, yeah.
Why am I blanking on his name right now?
Dr. D, maybe?
Yeah, Dr. D. The Slap Heard Round the World. The reporter looks at him and says, well, it's fake. And he slaps the ever-loving shit out of him on live television. It's fantastic. And
there's a couple good videos on YouTube of Vader doing the same thing. Like, I remember there's a interview, I think, possibly over in the Middle East, where they're saying, like, questioning what they do. And it's Vader and The Undertaker. And Vader just, like, picks up a table and destroys it and, like, gets in this guy's face. And it's...
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that video.
Yeah, it's the intensity that, like, I feel like every pro wrestler should bring to interviews. It's the intensity that we should all bring to defending our craft and our dream job.
Yeah, and he had every right to do it. The guy's pretty much calling him out, saying that it's fake. They go to someone that I apologize, I'm blanking on everybody's names here, but they go to someone that essentially was, like, kicked out of the business, deemed, like, too big for his own head, egotistical guy that thought he was, like, the greatest thing in professional wrestling, and in turn, he exposes the business because he says he was helping the business, and he exposes every single secret of professional wrestling, pretty much kills kayfabe in the interview, and they just take it from there and literally just start giving out every single secret in professional wrestling, and guy slaps the shit out of him. Granted, he still had a pretty good career after it was said and done, but I thought it was pretty crazy how there's that conspiracy that, like, Vince told him to go do it, but when they approached Vince, he was like, no, I never told you that. But I love it. At the end, they are talking to the reporter, and he's like, if you had one thing that you could say to him today, what would it be? He just looks at the camera. He's like, fuck you. It's like, dude, he would still kill you today. Like, shut up. he's 75 years old, and he could still kick your ass. Like, shut up.
Like, some people just don't learn. Like, you know, you can give them all the beatings you want, they're still going to be big heads.
Yeah. And Dark Side of the Ring is another thing that I find myself watching. NWA Power is another one because, let's face it, Dave reminds me every single day if I've watched Power. So I got to find time to do that.
I don't want to talk about Power.
So I haven't watched tonight's episode, so no spoilers here, Dave. So I like.
Well, they got to get rid of my music. They stole my music. I can't believe it.
You were like the first person I texted, too. I was like, what's your thoughts on this? You're like, on what? I'm like, NWA, just here. Here's the promo, and it's your theme music. So,
of all the obscure 1990s like metal bands to use, of all their music too, like, it's not even one of their bigger hits. Like, it is, but it's not like the one that got radio play. Like, how are you gonna pick that one?
Yeah, and that was the first question that we even premised to ourselves: who's gonna change their music, NWA or Bulk?
I don't think either of us have to. I looked into it a little bit because I'm a terrible wrestling fan and don't watch a lot of current product. It seems like each season they've done a different song, so maybe they're going to change it for the third season. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to come out at IWC and someone expects it to be an NWA Power show because we have the same song. Just like, you're not going to watch NWA Power and hear that and be like, oh, it's Bulk Nasty. Like, no, like,
true.
There's only so many cool songs out there. I get there's going to be overlaps. So, like, I joke about being butthurt, but, I mean, we're all different people. I've been on wrestling shows where the two guys who wrestle each other have the same theme song. It's a different remix. And it's like, it's, that went off fine. So, I mean, two different promotions can have it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And here's a question for you, because obviously, since the last time we've spoken, you've become a little bit more friendly with your tag team partner. You are the current IWC tag team champion, one half, that is, with Xander Gabriel of Steak and Eggs. Are you going to have and finally accept the team aspect of it? Or are we going to see, like, a Steak and Eggs theme song?
No.
Okay.
Because it's the Bulk show. You're all just tuning into it. But I believe there's been a compromise that's going on behind my back where there's been a remix made of our music. I think it played at the last show we had. To be honest, as soon as the first few chords of my music hits and the crowd reacts, I zone out to whatever else is happening. So I was told it changed to his music halfway through. I don't know. It doesn't matter at that point. The message is already sent. So, as much as I like tag teams who are a cohesive unit, don't mess with my music.
Well, I do have to say, since the last time we spoke to you, one of my favorite videos that I saw from when you won the tag team championships was when it was announced that you were going to be the opponents. And you see the video, I think it was up on the balcony, and you see the crowd's reaction when your picture shows up on the reset button. And then the crowd's reaction when Xander's picture shows up as well. Why are you laughing right now? We're trying to record here. Once again, microphone, if you want to take part, you are over here. Okay, keep your emotions in check. Okay, laugh internally.
You're such an ass.
I like the part too, so I know which part she's watching. My God. All right. We're going back to it, but...
And we're coming back
in 3, 2, 1. But there's the video up on the balcony. Your picture shows up. The place erupts. And there's like that quiet anticipation. Like, are they going to do it? Like, you know they are, but are they really going to? And then you see Xander Gabriel's picture show up. And the place erupts. Well, you didn't erupt, but everyone else did. So congratulations, first and foremost, to becoming the IWC Tag Team Champion. Now, you have a great relationship with the current IWC heavyweight champion. Has your focus kind of shifted away from going after the IWC heavyweight championship, or is it no love lost to your, that's still the eye on the prize no matter who's holding it?
I mean, it is the eye on the prize. That's what I want the most. And there used to be animosity between me and Jimmy Vegas, but we've since formed our own tag team in different promotions, and we have a mutual respect for each other. You know, I can wrestle him for the heavyweight title and not hate him for the heavyweight title, if that makes sense. You know, at the end of the day, it's a job, and if I have to, I can do that job against anybody. Plus, you know, I always pout and preach being a big man business, and he's one of the biggest men we got in IWC. He's a true heavyweight, which I respect, so I would actually prefer to wrestle someone like him for the heavyweight title, have it be a real heavyweight bout. And there's something to be said about, no matter what kind of fan you are, you know, there's the smart marks and casual fan and everything, but when it comes down to two guys who are larger than life having a match and, like, beating the shit out of each other, like, every person loves that. You know, every person loves Godzilla versus King Kong. So I understand there's a place for flippy guys and the technical wrestlers, but to me, I feel like wrestling is supposed to be larger than life as a wrestler. And I feel like something deep down in fans always awakens when you see two behemoths go at it. I could be biased. I could be talking on my ass, but, you know, I've ranted and raved many times about, you know, being a pro wrestler should be larger than life. You know, if someone's sitting in the audience and watches me wrestle and says to themselves, like, I can do that, like, I'm not doing my job properly. You know, not saying that you shouldn't try, that's your dream, but, like, I want to do things that no one else can. I want to look like no one else can. I want to, you know, feats of strength or 24-inch biceps, whatever you want to call it. Like, we're wrestlers. We're supposed to be real-life superheroes. Yeah. So if any Joe Schmo in the crowd watches us and goes, oh, I could do that, that's easy, it's like, oh, man, you're doing a terrible job. Sorry for that rant. But
no, it's not a rant at all.
Going back to my point, yes, I would love to wrestle Jimmy Vegas for the heavyweight title.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's a business. So exactly. If you're not in it to be the top guy in the promotion, no matter who's holding that title, it shouldn't be, no, that's not my goal anymore because he's got it. So I respect your answer. And obviously, whenever IWC comes back, we would love to see Bulk Nasty in that role. At this point, I think every wrestling fan just wants whoever at this point just to have wrestling back. So I would pay top dollar for that match. Jimmy Vegas, Bulk Nasty, come on. Who wouldn't?
I would love Jimmy Vegas versus Bulk Nasty for the heavyweight title. I would love Bulk Nasty versus Johnny Patch for the super indie title. I've already been high stakes. I've already been tag team champ. There's only two more titles in the company, not counting women's. I want all four. I want every title they have that I can hold, I want to hold it.
Yeah, and with the new resurgence of RC Dupree, I mean, that's a conversation for a different day, and it's unfortunate that everything that happened right at this new reveal of his character and his return, and now it's unfortunately sidelined. But you kind of gave kudos to Justin Plummer at the beginning, and I definitely want to give kudos to him because his video did kind of go viral from, I believe it was Ethan Page's vlog, and his speech before the event started, like, hey, they gave me an opportunity to get out scot-free. And I know we've mentioned this previously, but he just kind of looked at all of you like, hey, it's no hard feelings. If you don't feel comfortable going out there and performing here tonight, there's the door. I am not going to think any less of you if you walk out it. If you're not comfortable, great. That's fine. Tell me, and we'll make a shift. But
he told us. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it was just, I loved every second of it. Just saying, look, I looked at it. I don't know when you guys are going to work again. So let's go out there. Let's make some money. Let's sell some merch. Let's put a little nest egg down there for you guys to help you out because we don't know when we're going to do this again. So let's go out there and kill it and kill ourselves out there, put everything and leave it all in there, and we'll see where we go and when we see each other again.
Yeah. He messaged us a week or two before the show, individually and as a group, saying, like, hey, if you guys don't feel comfortable or don't feel safe, like you said, no hard feelings. No punishment. And like, personally, I believe them. You know, a lot of promoters will say something and have their fingers crossed behind their back. Like, I believe Justin the entire speech he gave. You know, he said it. I didn't see the blogs. Forgive me, Ethan Page. But in the speech, he told us, you know, this is a lot of people's escape. You know, this is where people go when they're having a bad day or, you know, they're going through a breakup. Like, I've said it before, like, friends come and go. Women will leave you. Parents get divorced, but like wrestling is always going to be wrestling. Wrestling is always going to be there. So, at the time when the world was starting to fall apart and really like shut down, for us to have that last show, I think gave a lot of wrestlers a proper send off, you know, to be on hold, and it gave a lot of fans like something to smile about for the next couple hours of the day, because you know everything was doom and gloom, and then we come out. And for 3 hours, you're entertained and distracted. And to touch on your RC comment about bad timing, at the very least, like I know I had momentum. RC had a lot of momentum. Hooven had a lot of momentum. Bandime, Nystrom, Patrick, all these guys are firing on all cylinders. Vegas just won the title. Like all this stuff is going on. and at least everyone is sidelined. It's not like I blew my knee out and I'm on the sidelines getting forgotten. Everyone is still on the same page. And when we come back, that crowd's going to be so hot to finally have wrestling and have something in their life that it's going to be, I don't think there's going to be any downside. I don't think there's going to be a lack of interest. You know, the first show might be a little light because people are being a little iffy on gatherings, but the passion for that crowd is going to be amazing. And as a wrestling fan, I look forward to it. Not even just a wrestler, but as a wrestling fan, I look forward to that kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, and like I know we even had this conversation. I feel like it's just going to be abundancy of people asking to be in the opening match because it's really the first match that is introducing these people back to wrestling. People aren't fighting for the main event. It's like, give me that opening bout. Give me the opening match. Like, I want to be the first. Yeah. I want to be that welcome back match. And I have all this, I guess, ideas that I want to put forward that have literally just been soaking for months. So get me out there. Get me in front of them. Let's get this going. And let's kick it off on a high note. So
That first match back could easily be one where you could have like two of the biggest heels out there and they'll get huge babyface pops just because like we're all just itching for it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think, you know, court time crowds have been spoiled with super indies and stuff in the past where, for lack of a better term, like more boring wrestlers or more basic wrestlers kind of get washed away. You could have the most basic of basic debuting rookie against another debuting rookie, and that crowd's going to go, like you said, you're going to go insane no matter what happens.
And I think that'd be a great idea, too. Put two people out there that really need to get that thunder that you really want to put over. Put two recent graduates against each other. Hey, here's your opening bout. Like, you know the crowd's going to be behind you because no matter what, they're excited that you're out there because they're finally – it's back. So
right.
I think that's a great idea. Like, just give it to two people no one knows and let them go out there because you know the crowd is going to be electric. So make it happen. But, yeah, who knows when this is going to happen. But, like, a bunch of my friends are going back to work starting this Friday. And, like, it's just going to be – correct me if I'm wrong, Dave. It's just going to be, like, patio is all that's open.
Patio starting Thursday and then open eating. Oh, wait. No, it is Friday. Shit, yeah. Patio Friday and then in restaurant next Thursday.
Jeez. Like, the patios are going to be packed. Like, or the lines are just going to be ridiculous because people are going to have such cabin fever. They just want to get out anyway. So they're just going to go.
Yeah.
They'll just stand in line. And what are you going to do? Put X's on the ground and then it's like stretched out for like 3 miles of how many people because you're still observing like social distancing? Like, no, it's not going to happen. So who knows when it's going to be back to normal? I think I agree with Dave that it's not going to be until at least January when crowds are back together and we're in filled arenas, filled court time. Whatever it may be, who knows?
Personally, like, I agree with you guys that it's going to be a while before mass gatherings happen. I would love to find a way to wrestle in a safe manner or like a smaller crowd, even though the crowd is what makes the whole thing, you know, have a point. If not, you're just two guys fighting it out, like, in a back alley. Like, you got to have some kind of audience. All politics and science and whatever, like, not involved with this. I do want it to see wrestling return sooner, not later, just out of selfish passion. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to do all my life. So, like, the sooner he opens up, the happier I'll be. Like I said earlier, I do feel like part of my career has been stolen because of this. And I understand the shutdown and everything. Like, I'm not trying to, like you said, conspiracy theory or politics, but I can't wait for the return, and I cannot wait to see how many of these wannabe wrestlers who claim to be, you know, the real deal come back out of shape, come back fat, come back small, come back, you know, whatever, how many people who have to now use their creative powers to put content out and can't rely on just doing backflips, Johnny Patch, are just out there like suffering, you know. I want to see who trims the fat. I want to see who betters himself. I want to see who uses his time to their advantage. You know, too many people sit there on Twitter talking about being the best wrestler around and all this bullshit, yet, you know, you just wrestle once a month, or you're a one-trick pony. Like, you got to be able to have microphone skills. You got to be able to have wrestling skills. You got to have a physique. You got to have technical ability, all this stuff. And this quarantine is going to shut down a lot of people and take away a lot of their smoke and mirrors, in my opinion. I can't wait for that to return. Now, sorry for that rant. I'm a little hangry. My food's here. So I'll catch you chumps some other time.
So it's fun now because obviously we've watched Impact Wrestling at this point. So it's fun because now we have two podcasts that we can hate the same person on, which is very exciting. And now we have another person that can hate him too. And we're obviously talking about...
I've had no issues with this guy.
You've had no issues because you've never met him.
Exactly. Thanks, asshat.
Okay, I'm sorry that I haven't introduced you to someone that I absolutely despise. You know what? What a dick of me. I'm such an asshole for not introducing
you.
Really,
you really are. You're terrible with anytime we like run into somebody, it's like you just talk to them like, oh yeah, and then here's my new co-host.
Oh yeah, hey, this is Dave. Like, we haven't introduced you. Like, hey, this is my. Yeah, I'm bad with that. I'll admit it. But back to the conversation at hand. Like, why would I introduce you to somebody that I don't like? Like, I don't even want to talk to him. Period. And it's like,
because maybe we'll be best friends and just continue giving you shit.
Yeah, because
for being an ass.
That's what I need. That's what I need. I already have Madman Fulton who literally just screams at me anytime that he sees me, and anytime that he texts me, it's always, "Hey, just wanted to remind you that I hate you." Those are the texts that I get all the time. Like, it's...
I know.
No. And this is ridiculous. Like, I'm not going to introduce you, but hey, guess what? He quit OVE. He walked out on him, and you know what? Now we have not only Dark Match Podcast that hates Madman Fulton, now it's going to carry over into the WUNI Pod. Okay.
Dark Match Podcast.
One half.
Does not
one half.
One half.
One half of Dark Match Podcast. Two-thirds of WUNI Pod. Hates Madman Fulton.
There's like half of the Muni Pod because there was one guy we didn't have on there.
Well, and I'm sure he would hate him too. He'd be on board with us. No one even knows who that is yet because we haven't gotten there. But
we mentioned it on our preview show.
We did. That was Jimmy Nuts. Yes. So we're excited to have him on there too. But there's a lot of wrestling going on. I don't know. Have you watched Monday Night Raw at all?
So what was the whole point of this? We started on this rant. I don't think you ever mentioned about why you're hating him.
Well, yes, I did. I said he quit OVE. Madman Fulton quit OVE.
I must have zoned out of there for like 20 seconds.
Yeah. Well, we'll lap back. It's fine. He quit OVE.
Because I am just admiring how my one tweet has 320 likes on it.
Wow. It's really picked up some traction there.
Yeah. I've gone big time here. I don't give two shits now.
He's big time. He's about ready to quit the show. Like, he's got three. I got 320 likes on Twitter, man. I'm quitting. Like,
hey,
I'm moving out of the big town.
That's like six times. Hey, that's like six times more than I've ever had. God damn it.
More than six times. Like, added.
No, I actually had one the other week. It was politically infused, but it got 50.
Wow, that is pretty good.
This one 320, but thank God it's a Browns tweet.
Let me see. I would have to see what the most I've ever gotten. Probably. I don't even know.
Well, yeah, whatever. But
regardless.
So your best friend quit his group.
Sure. Why not? We'll stick with that because I don't want to correct you.
And Monday Night Raw. Eh.
Yeah. I didn't. I watched like a few.
I wasn't
parts
home
of
last
it.
Night to watch. I wasn't home last night to watch, to watch it, but
well,
like even like looking back on it, it's like, okay, so Lashley's getting a title shot.
Obviously.
You're getting Orton Edge too, which will be great when it comes to Backlash.
But you know what? Stop really quick. Do you feel like with their build up for this match, they're like, oh, the greatest wrestling match of all time. Like, do you think that they're, like, overhyping this match? Like, to the point where everyone's just expecting it to be absolutely insane, and when it's not, like, something we've never seen before, we're just going to be like, wow, that was pretty mediocre.
If they don't go for 30 minutes, you know what this to... So this one needs to go about 30 minutes, and I guarantee you this is going to build up to SummerSlam, where they need to have like an Iron Man match.
I completely agree.
You're trying to hold out for fans. You're even talking about pushing SummerSlam to try to have fans there, which if you do, it's going to be half an arena, but that's still better than nothing.
I'll take half of arena over what we're currently
and
getting.
You know what? To me, then it's got to be an Iron Man match.
Well, you know that
you've got to be building to something goddamn epic.
Yeah. Well, that should have been epic at WrestleMania. So, but unfortunately, no. We got it with no crowd.
Right. And it was still I thought it was still a great match. I thought it was thoroughly entertained. I was thoroughly invested. Like, yeah, at parts it may have gone slow because, let's be honest, these guys are in their fucking 40s. Like, they're not meant to go long.
Yeah.
But they told a great story where even when it was slow, there was reasons why it went that way.
Yeah, I agree.
These two are two of the best storytellers in the game.
Well, speaking of something that has your attention, have you been watching Undertaker's The Last Ride?
I am.
Did you watch part two yet?
Yes, I did.
I'm liking this behind the scenes look, though.
It was kind of like, yeah, I think maybe it was around that time you started seeing it on like social media a little bit, like when he actually got social media.
Yeah,
like you started to see it. And you can tell this is building to something. So I wonder if that Styles match here this year was it. Like, this was it.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Was it here in part? Because I think it was here in part two where I chuckled where he's like, yeah, that's one I missed. AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And I just chuckled like, man, if you only know what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, like he reminds me of Sean like back in the day. AJ can still go. It's so I have a feeling that it's building to something, but like at this point I don't think that was his last, cuz he wants to do it in front of a crowd. So
well, yeah, I think for something like this, I think he's going to want to go out in front of the crowd. And like they started hinting at like 3, it's well, he had the shitty WrestleMania, then he got himself fixed up and ended up, even though it was short, he at least got his redemption for this. And now they're hinting how they're going to be, where it was like the Brothers of Destruction versus DX in Saudi Arabia and how that was garbage. Then he was going to have to come, like, it's just this back and forth that he's been having of, oh, it was great, then it was shit. Now I have to redeem myself, and then I'm going to try to build off of that, but it turned out to be shit. So
but
now
like
I gotta
in
redeem
part
myself
3,
again.
It's like building up to like the shit that was, like the match between the Brothers of Destruction and DX.
Yeah.
Then it goes.
I think it's
going to
be that. I don't remember what was after that.
Goldberg almost killed him with the jackhammer.
No, because I think it was because that was Saudi Arabia. Because even versus DX was Saudi Arabia. Then I think it was WrestleMania, and then I think they went back to Saudi Arabia. I don't think it went Saudi Arabia.
No, because
twice.
If you remember, at 35, Undertaker was not there. He was not at WrestleMania 35. He didn't do anything at WrestleMania 35.
17. Yeah, because that was 2017 that he had the shit. 18, that's true.
Yeah, he didn't have a match at that WrestleMania. No. You're wrong.
Yeah.
You're wrong. 2017.
Hey, you're wrong because you told me that.
Yes, I know. No, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. We're wrong. We're wrong. Plural.
Yes, you're wrong.
So 2017 was Roman Reigns when he lost. 18 was John Cena. 19,
yeah.
He was not there. He didn't do anything. And
so
then,
yeah, which was 35.
Yeah. He didn't do anything at 35.
Yeah, so you were right.
Okay, I was right. Yay! You were wrong. I don't know. But anyway, I'm loving this, and they can continue
too.
They should do more of this, like behind the scenes type things. I loved, once again, we've mentioned it previously, Edge 24, was it the 24 or was it like did it have like a different title to it? Was it a 24 series?
I don't remember.
I don't either, but that one's one of my favorites.
I think it was a 20. No, it was a 24, yeah.
Yeah, I loved the Edge one, and then just the build-up for that, and just the ultimate payoff.
It's like, I do love that, and especially like this. This was obviously supposed to be something different, but then it's turning into so much more. But they're still condensing it to 5 episodes,
yeah,
which is nuts.
Who knows? He'll probably announce that he's done. Who knows?
And it's the fact that it's the Undertaker. Undertaker has been the one that nobody knew anything.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and that's how we wanted it. He loved it. And even in that first episode where he was giving Roman Reigns shit of, you couldn't have gone kayfabe for 5 minutes, like while they were checking into the hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's just how Undertaker's been. That's just how he is.
By the way, he looked bad
looking at all that.
You could barely walk. Like, why would you go into a match like that? Like, I'm watching him walk.
And he was so out of shape.
I think it was just because it was just building up with, like, his hip. Like, my God.
Yeah. Like,
you can't. Like, just say, not now. Like, Jesus. Like, he looked bad, but... Yeah. I mean, at this point, kind of taking a step away from the I guess you could say the network specials.
One last thing because I have no idea where you're going. How about the Intercontinental title for SmackDown? That whole situation.
I haven't watched SmackDown to really know what exactly is going on. I saw the bracket. Hell, like, the matches in itself, fantastic. They can stick with that, and that's great.
But the fact that they're taking it off
of someone because he refuses to work during a pandemic. When you tell people, hey, if you're not comfortable, don't come into work. And he says,
But now that the fact that you are a title holder, we still want... Title holders on the show.
Then make
why couldn't they go like they did? Was it
the Cruiserweight Championship?
Cruiserweight title? Yeah. Why not?
Interim.
Why not get an interim? Yeah. Give me an interim.
You know what? You keep that title. We're bringing back the white strap or a different design, whatever it may be. We bring that one out. This is the interim championship.
Just make it the same thing, and then you have a WrestleMania. What was it? Crap. Now I'm going to play, was it like a WrestleMania 10-ish where it was Razor versus Shawn Michaels for the real Intercontinental title?
I like that idea. I think that's what they should do, but they're not going to. They're just going to strip him of the championship. They didn't strip Jordan Devlin of it. Was it because Jordan Devlin really couldn't travel? And because...
I think that's part of it. That's why also they've tried to put somebody different with Bro, because... Pete Dunn can't travel.
Yeah.
But even then, you know why? It's because Vince is the one running these shows. Triple H is running those, so he has a different say.
Yeah.
Where Triple H is like, you know what? We're not going to strip you. We're going to do this. Where Vince is like, fuck it, I'm just going to strip him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, and where I was going was a little sad note. Obviously, our thoughts and prayers go out to the family, friends, and also former and current co-workers of Shad Gaspar. Obviously, if you haven't heard some very unfortunate news, Shad Gaspar was last seen swimming in the ocean with his family. A large riptide came through and took him out into the sea. Was last seen directing lifeguards to save his son, and that was the last time that he was seen. We're still hoping and praying for a safe return, and that they find him well, wherever he may be. We're praying for that, but definitely thoughts and prayers going out to him and his family in this trying time. So sorry to kind of be a little Debbie Downer there, but.
Definitely. We definitely need to mention it. You know, and it's definitely sad, especially where it's like, you know, it's something so simple. It's like, you know, just going out for a swim, but then obviously going in the ocean is not a joke.
No, And Riptides.
So, and it's just, yeah, and it's, you know, and it's an unfortunate situation, especially with today, they mentioned that they are stopping the search.
Yeah.
So that's obviously not a, you know, that's not a good sign, but definitely wish, you know, for better circumstances.
Absolutely. So especially deeming the circumstances of the stories that have come out, but nothing but love for him. Just reading some of the stories and the different just interactions that individuals have had. It's all positive and just a absolute sweetheart of an individual. So it's very trying times for everyone, but definitely for anyone that's really worked with him, it's even harder just knowing the type of person that he was and what his family is currently going through. So we hope for a happy ending in very, very soon in this regard. But I always seem to do that. I always seem to be the Debbie Downer and then try to pick things back up, and usually not the best way possible. But we do have quite a few questions. We reached out to individuals last week and asked for questions for Know the Show. So we're only going to do a few this week.
We only did a few last week.
We have a couple left over from last week, and then we did get some new ones this week as well, and some of them have been pretty good. So we'll kind of jump on in here, and I got a little one just walking down the stairs. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Dude, it's 9:30. Go to bed.
Well, he was up in his bed. He went to bed a little early. This is little Declan scrolling down the stairs.
Oh, hey, look, he's actually in the house and not breaking out like he has. Oh, every God.
We're locked down like Alcatraz, man. There is a lock on everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. We have locks on every single door, obviously, more now. We have doorknob covers on everything. So for those that don't know, my 22-month-old has figured out how to unlock everything, open up everything. So a little update for you, Dave, what has happened as of late. So we now have locks on all of our cabinets. We have relocated our knives. That was fun. At night, we unplug our Keurig, because once again, that was fun to discover. He makes coffee for us, but he doesn't know that you put one K-cup in, and that's just enough coffee. But he has overflowed several cups of coffee. There are locks on all of the refrigerators. There are locks on all of the garbage cans. There are new gates that have been installed as well. Now, just recently, we had to remove some toys from our daughter's rooms because they have been utilized as ladders by one Declan. And last night, there was a casualty, which I am still not over. I'm still a little upset over. There was a casualty of a smart TV.
Another one.
We need
Jesus Christ.
We need DJ Khaled right now. Like another one. Yeah, another TV, gone, broken, was dropped off of the dresser, because he pulled it. We figured out how it was Seamus's. So the one that was in the boys' room is now broken.
God.
But at the same point, there was another casualty on top of it. The Roku stick that was inside of the TV was snapped in half. So we can't even buy a new TV and put the Roku stick inside of the new TV, or move a TV and put a Roku stick in it, because, go figure, what happens? He snapped it in half. So my terrible twos have started a little bit early, and oh my God, this needs to stop. I don't know what to do. There's not enough coffee in the world. I have lost so much sleep. He jumps out of his crib. We have readjusted the crib I don't know how many times. We have removed the bottom part of his crib. in hopes that he can no longer jump out. What he does is he pushes up against the wall and pushes his crib away from the wall and made a space to where he could crawl out of the bottom. Literally, I am at a loss. I don't know what to do anymore. We cannot contain this child. We cannot hold him down. I refuse to give in to my father-in-law's suggestion of shackles for obvious reasons. That's child endangerment, child cruelty, and I can't go to jail. I'm fragile and ticklish, so I would be an easy target. So that's not going to happen. But go. Let's get into know the show. Why not at this point? I think you know enough about me so far. So let's go to some questions here. So question number one. Here is a fun one for you here, Dave. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I don't even know the question.
Well, good call there. So here is the first question. Here's a fun one for you. What is the craziest, you will not believe this, story you have ever had? You can start off this one.
I don't think I have one.
You don't have any moments where it's like, oh my God, like I'm going to tell you this story, but you're never going to believe me? You don't have any.
I don't think so.
Okay. Here's one that I have. There was one night, I think I've actually even talked about this on the show previously. I one time had a night of partying that resulted in us crossing the border into Canada.
I think you did mention that.
Yeah, that's like the craziest thing I've had. Like I've partied with people, but like it was nothing like. Like there was one time I was DJing. Only people around here would really know. Like there was one time I was DJing at a nightclub, and I felt someone standing behind me in the DJ booth. I didn't think anything of it, and I switched the songs, and I felt these huge, ginormous hands on my shoulders start shaking me. Like, dude, that was sick. Like, I'm like, okay, who the hell is behind me right now? I can't look because I'm focusing on the songs. And then I like change into like another song. Like I transitioned into like another song. I felt the same hands, and now he's shaking me even harder. And I turned around so pissed, as if I was going to punch this person in the face. And I turn around, and the person that was shaking me was Josh Cribbs.
Yeah, I got to talk to Victor Martinez once, but I think that's about it.
Yeah. And people, like not many people outside of Cleveland would even know who those people are. So,
yeah.
Like, they're cool Cleveland stories, but I really don't have a whole lot of, like, oh my gosh, like.
There's probably something that I'm, like, completely forgetting.
Yeah, me too.
And it's like, as soon as, like, somebody would be like, hey, remember this? I'll be like, oh, that's the one.
Yeah.
And I should probably remember.
Here's another one for you. What are your fast food guilty pleasures? I kind of changed the wording there.
Everything.
Like what's what's your go to? Like if you could have
Monday through Saturday, Chick-fil-A.
I love Chick-fil-A.
Mr. Hero.
What about menu items? Like what's your like go to? Like if you could have it right now, what would you get?
Depends on where we are.
Okay, Chick-fil-A. Since you mentioned Chick-fil-A.
Oh, Chick-fil-A. Like, my normal order is a large number one, which is their classic chicken sandwich, which would include large fries and a large lemonade light ice. Always have to have the Chick-fil-A sauce with the fries. And then a 4-count strip and a 12-count nugget.
Oh, okay. My guilty pleasure.
Their breakfast is crack, though, by the way. Also.
I agree. The mini.
The chicken minis.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
Chicken minis. Love them. I don't know.
Their hash brown bowls are really good, too. Don't get their sausage biscuit.
Yeah.
Sausage from a chicken place is not good.
I was like scrolling through, what was it? Like Instagram earlier today, and there was an advertisement for Wendy's and the Wendy's breakfast. And it was
I've had it.
Not good.
It's all right.
Like I saw a picture. It was what was it? Like it was like a breakfast baconator.
Oh, I've had it. I wasn't as impressed because maybe it's just because like everything else. It's yeah. Here's a sandwich that in everything else it looks, you know, in all the commercials it looks nicely put together and great. And then you get it. It's like they made it and then squished it.
Yeah.
And then put it in your bag.
Like, I'll go to McDonald's before I go to Wendy's for breakfast.
I love me a chicken McGriddle from McDonald's for breakfast, but my
dude, the chicken McGriddle's great.
They're so good. My guilty pleasure. I'm usually that annoying person at drive-thrus. Well, in general, I'm kind of an annoying person, but my go-to is Taco Bell. I know I'm basic, but I get a Crunchwrap Supreme. But I have them add the spicy sauce that they use for chicken quesadillas. Oh,
the quesadilla sauce can't go wrong with that.
Man. And I ask them to add some of that on there. But when I get home, I also add Chipotle Tabasco sauce.
Why?
It's so good. It's like crack, man. It's so good. I get my Crunchwrap Supreme. I get like a crunchy taco as well. Then I get me when I used to drink pop, my go-to, give me a Dr. Pepper. Now, the only...
Oh, Dr. Pepper's gross.
I love Dr. Pepper. Don't you talk shit. Dr. Pepper's gross. I love Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper's garbage. Dude, chicken quesadillas, like, put them in the fridge and eat them the next morning for breakfast.
They're good anytime.
I may be one of the few. I will eat Taco Bell sober. It's still good.
I will, too. I love it drunk. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, but, who doesn't?
I love my cinnamon twist.
It just hits you in a certain way drunk.
Here's a fun question for you. Step Brothers or Talladega Nights?
They're both good. I'd probably go Step Brothers over Talladega Nights.
I'm the same way. Like I think
I do love me some Talladega Nights.
I do too, but like,
I think in terms of Talladega Nights, I feel like, is probably only for a certain crowd, where Step Brothers is good for everybody.
Yeah, I completely agree. So we have a lot more questions, but I'm only going to do one more this
week. Maybe we'll just have to have a side episode of
Ask the Show. Yeah, we'll do an entire show.
Yeah,
we'll do an entire show on it. So last question here. If you had to book a wrestling show using only wrestlers that have been on your show, what would the card look like? And let's just...
I don't have my own show.
You do have your own show because you're a part of this show. So who would you have on your card? That is by far one of the hardest questions I've ever been asked, because we've had so many great wrestlers on the show, and trying to pick and decide who to be on the card, like, I really don't want to exclude anyone. I think a great match, the first thing that comes to mind right now would be a women's match, and the first thing that comes to mind would be Katie Arquette versus Dani Jordan.
Hands down.
That would be women's match.
That could be a classic.
Yeah, I would say Jessie Mack too, but considering her current
if we take out her current circumstances of getting ready to squeeze out a little one, she could be in there too.
She could be. It had the comedy relief to it. Another great match that I would love to see. This is a dream match. Obviously, if it could happen, it'd be great. I would love to see Magnum CK versus RJ City.
They've already done it, though.
They have, but not on our show. This is our show that we're booking. I would love to see it again. This is
how about we take out, because obviously I don't think Katie and Danny have ever met, so obviously that would be a great one to have.
Ones that they've wrestled Magnum previously.
Magnum RJ City would be great, but how about ones that we don't think have actually ever happened?
Well, and that...
Dream Match-esque. Dream Match... Let's go Dream Match-esque using only our guests. We'll put a little... I think Katie versus Danny is a great idea.
Okay.
Magnum and RJ City have already fought.
I know, like, but I'd like to see...
Yeah, it'd be great to have them fighting. Okay, fine.
I'd like to see it again.
Fine, then there's two. Fine, then what's your third?
Well, let's throw Effie in there too. Effie, RJ City, and Magnum CK. Does that make it better? Not all three of them have been in the same match, so that works out to his advantage. There we go. So I just made it better.
Okay, Captain Loophole.
Okay, here's one for you. An Elimination Chamber match. We'll have an Elimination Chamber. You know what? All right, we got six individuals, but you know what?
Well, fuck it.
So, you know what? Elimination Chamber, here we go. We got Madman Fulton in one pod. Next pod, PCO. In the next pod, Wardlow.
Oh, Jesus.
In the last pod, Shane Taylor. And starting the match in the ring, we have Bulk Nasty and we have Beast Man.
Dude, is this just the big man battle?
Yeah, it's just the big man. Let's hope to God the cage contain him.
You want to talk ahead? Like, you're going for the heavyweight title. That's one. Like, I expect the chamber to just crash.
Yes, I completely agree. Tag team championship match, Jim Nasty Boys, the main event. Ooh, is right, my friend. There we go. That's what we got right there. I mean, let's give a European Intercontinental Eurocontinental Championship. Let's make that championship right now. Who's in that? Let's say it's a ladder match. Let's say it's a six-man ladder match. Okay. Six-man. There we go. And I feel bad because we're going to leave people out of this. We can't just do five. Like, we have to include everyone.
Because this is a ladder match, something tells me Jack Pollock needs to be in there.
Okay. There's one. So we got Jack Pollock. We have to throw in Jackson Argos.
Yeah. Jack. Got to get in there.
We got Jackson. Who else we got? Who else are you going to throw in there?
Dude, we've had a lot of guests.
We've had a shitload of guests.
So that's why. I think he could do some interesting things. Chase Winters could be in there.
Chase, okay. One note's really bad. Who we left out of the? You know what? It's going to start as a triple threat inside of the Elimination Chamber, and we're going to throw in Jock Sampson, my friends. Jock Sampson, Beast Man, and Bulk Nasty starting things off in that Elimination Chamber. Jock's in it too.
There we go.
So we got Jack. We got Jackson. We got Chase Winters. We got a couple more spots. I'm throwing in. Who you got? On the count of three, say.
Who are you throwing in?
On the count of three, say who you have. One.
Okay.
Two. Three. Ziggy Dice.
Johnny Patch.
What the heck? You waited for me to say it. So I got Ziggy. You got Patch.
Johnny Patch. Dude, you could throw TJP in there unless we got there's TJP. Somebody in.
And I got our. Oh. I got our last one.
Who?
Who do you have? You go first.
Well, because here's also another one. It's like maybe in our big man elimination chamber of you got the Grizz
four
in there
people.
We haven't had in.
You got Grizzly Cal Jack.
Dude,
there you go.
Jack. Dude, and then somewhere out there, someone's going to get hurt, and then we're going to have to have the medical team run in there of Benjamin Boone.
Benjamin Boone and Keita Murray. They're on medical. They're our medical team in the back. So,
dude,
we got like, medical thing.
Dude, like, I'm literally just going through, like, all of these.
There's so many.
There's way too many that, like, a lot of these that seriously would be so effing good.
I have our last one and I'm between so many different people. So, I will say my honorable mentions right now so no one feels left out. So, Retrosexual Anthony Green.
Yeah.
I have as my honorable mention for the ladder match. My second honorable mention is...
JT Energy.
Yes, you're right there. And my final person that is my... I'm between these two people, and it's upsetting. I'm going to have to go with my gut here. Honorable mention, Crash Jackson. My last entrant into the ladder match, Lee Moriarty. There we go.
So let's go with one last match.
Okay. One last match.
For what would be the main event of the night?
What would be the main event of the night?
Yeah.
I guess a battle royal with all of our other guests that we didn't mention.
See, okay. See, because, no, I think we have to have one that would be like a one-on-one.
A one-on-one?
But I think you got to pick. I think you got to pick one. I got to try to pick one.
Okay. I got one right now that I think would
so
be
so do
great.
I, but it's probably going to be the same one. All right. Who?
No, you go first.
No, you go first.
You go first.
You go first.
Fine. I'll go first. My main event of the evening would be... I'm between
you only
two.
Give me one person. You got to pick one person.
One-on-one, correct?
No, you pick one person, I pick one person, and that would potentially be the main event.
Okay. Geez, because I had two in place, so now I have to decide who it's going to be. All right, here we go. Here's my person. Ready? Sammy Guevara.
See, I was going to go Tim Storm.
I'd be down for Sammy Guevara and Tim Storm. My second person that I was on, though, was Brody King. I was going to say Brody King and Sammy Guevara. I mean, and like at the same point, we can even throw Scotty Davis in this too. My God, the person that asked this question was even one person that was mentioned here too, which is really upsetting. So I'm leaving on a bad note because I can't do it. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't done so yet. Be sure to follow us all across social media along with all of our guests. Be sure to give a follow. Go ahead.
Oh, and by the way, before we end, I'm up to 375. Continue.
There you go. Congratulations. If you haven't found David's tweet, it has been retweeted. You need to make yourself public, by the way. I think that's the one thing that's limiting you.
On Twitter, I am public.
You are public? I didn't know you were.
No, yeah, because there was something with the Indians that was getting funky, so I made myself public on Twitter.
All right. Well, if you haven't done so yet, go ahead and like and retweet his post. But be sure to follow all of our guests. Follow IWC as well if you haven't done so already. But that's going to do it for this week's episode. We go long distance next week. We're very excited for next week's guest, so be sure to tune in and follow along for the drop of that episode as well and the announcement of who our guest is going to be. So otherwise, stay safe, stay healthy. We will see you next week.